Can I ask, why was Colleen Maxwell invited to the daughter of Chelsea Clinton's wedding in 2010? She'd already been mentioned in a civil lawsuit by Virginia Giuffre before that. Jeffrey Epstein had already been convicted before that.
She came as the plus one, the guest of someone who was invited. Thank you, everybody.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, February the 27th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Hillary Clinton and her deposition to the House Oversight Committee. And Hillary was asked questions about Epstein and what she knew about Epstein. And Hillary said that she didn't really know Epstein that well. He was not someone that she hung out with. An acquaintance, not a friend or not anything more than just someone who she ran into every now and then. And she was asked about the famous photo of Ghislaine at Chelsea's wedding. Oh, that photo. Ghislaine at Chelsea's wedding. Front row, too, at Chelsea's wedding, or in the front, at least, as Chelsea was walking down the aisle with Bill Clinton. And she said, look, Ghislaine was the plus one. She wasn't invited. She was just someone's plus one. Who was that someone? Hillary did not stick around to get into any details as to who was the plus one, or who was Ghislaine plus one-ing for, right? So you shouldn't want to answer that. But Clinton, Hillary said that I never met Epstein, never had any connection or communication with him. I never went to his island. I never went to his home. I never went to his offices. She also said that she had no idea about Epstein's criminal activities. I find that one very hard to believe. I think Bill Clinton is today, his deposition to the House Oversight Committee. I wonder what Bill is going to say. He can't go with the line of I've never been to the island or never hung out with him or anything like that, never been to his home. I don't think he can go with that one, because we've got images of Bill swimming with Ghislaine in a hot tub, hanging out with the Epstein class, the Epstein people. We'll see what Bill says. But New York Magazine actually has some information on that photo, saying that Chelsea instituted a strict no strangers policy at her wedding. She must personally know every invitee. Interesting. A no stranger policy at her wedding. So Iran and the United States, that would be a good distraction for the Epstein class, a conflict with Iran. And we're close. We are very, very close to some sort of a big conflict between the United States and Iran, a U.S. attack on Iran. We are getting news that the United States has instructed embassy personnel to leave the U.S. embassy in Iraq. China is calling on its citizens to leave Iran. U.S. embassy staff to evacuate Baghdad, Iraq. Yeah, and China is also calling on its citizens to leave Israel as soon as possible. So that news just came in, and we have the news that the USS Ford aircraft carrier and its strike group have arrived off the coast of Israel. So we're pretty much there. Everything is pretty much set up for a U.S. strike on Iran, if that is what the President of the United States decides. So we had the talks wrap up yesterday in Geneva. Things started out pretty bad. The early reports were that the United States was disappointed with what Iran was offering. I don't understand why Witkoff and Kushner would be disappointed with what Iran was offering, because everyone pretty much knew where Iran stood. And then they took a break, they took a recess, and then they came back for more talks. The talks lasted for 6 hours. And then the reports came out that progress was being made. The mediator, Oman, they said that progress was made. Iran said that that the talks were positive. The United States, everyone basically said that the second half of the talks went well. The first part did not go well, but the second half went well. And we are going to have more talks next week in Vienna, technical talks. We are now at the technical talk level in Vienna next week. So all sides, all parties, including the mediator, Oman, they put a positive spin to the talks from yesterday. Let me read you a post from Shanaka 86, which is a really good post on X, which lays out the positions of both sides. The U.S. just handed Iran a document that is not a negotiation. It's a capitulation order. The Wall Street Journal obtained the American demands presented in Geneva today. Destroy Fordo, destroy Natanz, destroy Isfahan, hand over every gram of enriched uranium to the United States, zero enrichment permanently, no sunset clauses, no expiration dates, behave for the rest of your lives in exchange, minimal sanctions relief up front, and more only if you comply with everything forever. Iran's counterproposal, approved personally by Khamenei, arrived showing almost no change from the previous round, a 3 to 5 year enrichment suspension, increased IAEA oversight, willingness to dilute stockpiles, but zero flexibility on the one demand Washington says is non-negotiable, permanent zero enrichment on Iranian soil. And this post on X further goes on to explain that what the United States is demanding with regards to Iran destroying their facilities. I thought those facilities were already obliterated and destroyed. Whatever, okay, no matter. Trump was saying they're obliterated. I guess they're not obliterated, but the demand is now for Iran to obliterate those facilities. The post on X goes on to further explain that what is being communicated to Iran is an ultimatum. Either you destroy these three facilities, permanently destroy them, or we're going to destroy them. These are going to be our three targets when we begin our military operation. We're telling you these are going to be the three targets that we're going to destroy. So here's your ultimatum. Destroy them or else we're going to launch attacks to destroy Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. And that's very true. When you look at the U.S.'s demands, it's not really, or the offer that they're making, it's not really an offer. These are demands. It's an ultimatum. It really is an ultimatum. Iran's offer is a variation of the JCPOA. Iran is making concessions, but it would be the Trump administration returning to a variation of the JCPOA, which is going to be very hard for Trump to sell to the neocons. So that's where we are. It seems like we are far, far apart. That's the way it looks if you go off of the different positions of both sides. And a lot of this is taken from the Wall Street Journal's reporting. The Wall Street Journal claims that they actually got a copy of the positions of the offer, the United States, what the U.S. is demanding of Iran. Iran is asking for sanctions relief, full sanctions relief. The United States is saying, nope, minimal sanctions relief. And we'll give you more sanctions relief over time as you continue to show that you are complying and behaving with the U.S.'s demands. So that's where we are with the situation in Iran. J.D. Vance gave an interview to the Washington Post, And he said that there is going to be no long war when it comes to Iran. The fear from the American people, from the entire world, actually, that this could develop into a very long conflict, according to J.D. Vance, is not a concern. It's not going to happen. He said the idea that America would want to enter an endless war in the Middle East for years with no prospect of ending it is not even on the table, and such a thing will not happen. That is what Vance told the Washington Post. The New York Times and Reuters, they are reporting, according to three U.S. officials with access to current intelligence on Iran's missile programs, that President Trump is exaggerating the Iranian threat to the United States. The New York Times and Reuters is reporting that Trump is exaggerating the Iranian missile threat to the United States. This is coming from the New York Times and Reuters. They're making the case against a war with Iran. Trump's claim that Iran will soon have a missile that can hit the United States is not backed by U.S. intelligence reports and appears to be exaggerated. That is what both of these outlets are reporting. How about parking for 300 euros? It does look like 300 euros. It is 300 euros. Parking 300 euros. It's 3 euros, but hey, it's a good parking spot, guys. It's worth 300 euros. I'm just joking. 3 euros. 3 euros. It's just missing. It's missing the decimal. Anyway, that's the situation going on with Iran. We could have something happening this weekend. We could have something happening tonight, next weekend. We'll see. Hopefully, we get to a deal. Hopefully, we get to those technical talks in Vienna, and we can avoid a conflict. That's the hope. But a lot of military hardware is in the region, and more. It seems like every day, more and more U.S. military assets are moving into the region. Why would you move so much military hardware into the region if you're not going to strike? So Dmitriev showed up in Geneva, Russia's business envoy. He was there, and he met with Witkoff. I think just Witkoff. I don't know if he met with Kushner, but he met with Witkoff for a little bit. I don't think it was a long meeting, but he had no comment as he came out of the hotel, I believe the Intercontinental Hotel, in his meeting with, after meeting with Witkoff. There were a bunch of reporters there, and they were asking him to comment, and he had no comment, nothing to say, but he looked like he was in a good mood. He looked like he was in a very good mood, very upbeat after the meeting. But we don't have any information as to what was discussed. We do have information on casualties. There was another exchange of fallen soldiers between Russia and Ukraine. And once again, the numbers are similar, if not identical, to the previous 14 or 15, 16 exchanges that we've seen. The exact same numbers, 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers to 35 Russian. 1,000 to 35. Another exchange of dead has occurred. 35 Russian bodies for 1,000 Ukrainian bodies. The monthly tradition continues. That's coming from the ex-account of Aydin. rounds of these exchanges, and the number has been pretty much the exact same. I think that's a very good indicator as to the casualty numbers. If people want to talk about casualty numbers, analysts to talk about casualty numbers, collective West media outlets and European leaders and collective West leaders that go on and on about casualty numbers and casualty rates, this number, I think, says it all. The past 16 exchanges of soldiers says it all. And I understand, we all understand, when an army is advancing, they're going to pick up more bodies. We understand that. We've talked about that many times. An admission that Russia is advancing, but over 16 or 17 or 18 exchanges, and these are the numbers every single time. I think that's a pretty revealing statistic. Should we go towards the beach, or should we go into the city, or should we just keep on walking straight? Let's keep on walking straight. Let's just walk straight. So foreign affairs, which is one of the three big neocon magazines, or one of the four big neocon magazines. You have the National Interest. I think National Interest, the Economist is the big one. That's the big neocon publication. Foreign Policy, and then you have Foreign Affairs. Anyway, they posted an article with the title, get this. This is the title from Foreign Affairs. Ukraine is losing the war. With Moscow pressing its advantage, Kiev should trade land for peace. February 26, 2026. I look at the date. When I see an article like this, I look at the date. I want to make sure this was published yesterday. Yeah, this was published yesterday. Ukraine is losing the war. Kiev should accept land for peace. What this article is basically saying is that in order for Ukraine to continue as a sovereign state, in order for Ukraine to continue its path towards the West, towards the EU, when I read the article, it implies towards NATO, the EU, in order to continue in that path, in order to continue Project Ukraine, then it's going to have to trade land for continuation of Project Ukraine. That's basically what the article is saying. But it's an admission that the conflict is lost. I wonder if this article is going to be circulated in the halls of Brussels, of EU HQ. It's going to be a shocker for all of the collective West leaders to read the title is going to be shocking for them. But it does advocate for the continuation of Project Ukraine. When you read the article, it really is about the continuation of Project Ukraine. Something that if there is an agreement, if there is a peace deal, Russia is not going to agree to the continuation of Project Ukraine. But anyway, that's the article from Foreign Affairs. There are also reports sticking with Project Ukraine. There's also news that the social media counteroffensive that Zelensky was talking up, that Ukraine and European leaders were talking about in the Zaporozhye region, this counteroffensive that has gained 300 square kilometers, that thing is over. It's over. It's done. Fictitious to begin with, in my opinion, in the opinion of many analysts, this counteroffensive never really existed. But if it did exist, it existed on social media and on X. But if there was some sort of counteroffensive in the Zaporozhye region, the reports are that there is no offensive and no movement from the Ukraine military in that area. And whatever movement there was, they suffered heavy losses trying to make progress in the Zaporozhye direction. All right. So we got another conflict. This is conflict number 9 or 10 that Trump's going to have to resolve, I guess. Afghanistan and Pakistan. Actually, this is a round 2. This is a continuation of a conflict that started a few months ago. And then there was a ceasefire, a pause, and now we have started again. And who started everything? Hard to know who started this round two, to be quite honest. Afghanistan is saying that Pakistan attacked Afghanistan last week, and so Afghanistan retaliated against Pakistan border areas, border patrol, and border posts. So they retaliated against the Pakistani border posts in the region. And I don't know why my mind just shut down. It's been a long week. And then Pakistan, they claim that Afghanistan attacked them first, and then they launched big strikes into Afghanistan. They even launched strikes into Kabul. Now, I've read some reports which are saying that they've now agreed to another ceasefire, but I don't think so. I've been seeing a lot of videos and images where it's showing that the two sides are still going at it. So that's the situation there. Interesting time for this conflict to flare up again, huh? Very interesting timing. By the way, Iran has issued a statement saying that they will mediate a ceasefire between the two countries. Iran has said that they will be the mediators in order to get Afghanistan and Pakistan to stop. So, UK by-elections, the by-elections. All right. Starmer's in trouble. Starmer and Labour, they got smacked. I mean, they got completely demolished in these elections that many people said once upon a time would have been an easy win. It would have been a Labour conservative 1-2 showing, an easy victory in these by-elections in the areas of Gorton and Denton. We've done a video on this on the Duran, so Alexander understands the situation a lot better than I do. But you know who came in first with about 40% of the vote? The Greens. The Greens, the Green Party, they came in first. And then it was followed by Reform with around 25 or 26% of the vote. And then you went down to Labour. I believe the Tories, they were like dead last. They were like way, way, way down in the results. But Labour didn't even come in second. Labour was in third, behind Reform. So we have two new big parties, everyone. It's the Greens and it's Reform. The Greens, oh boy, the Greens. Yes, they are similar to the Greens in Germany. I asked Alexander this question when we were recording our video on the Duran, and I had to ask it. Are the Greens in the UK as batshit crazy as the Greens in Germany? And Alexander said, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, they're pro EU, pro globalists, pro Alensky, pro Le Gobelin Vert. Of course, they're the Greens. Of course, they're going to be pro Le Gobelin Vert, pro Ukraine, anti Russian. They are just like the Greens in Germany. There may be some differences, some small differences here and there." But they're just as nutty as Annalena and Habeck and all of these people in Germany. So there you go, from bad to worse, or from worst to bad. Depends how you look at it, from Starmer to the Greens. Anyway, all right, so that was big news. The by-election results, a lot of news today. And I think we're going to have a lot of news this weekend. An update on the Druzhba pipeline. Hungary's row with the European Union and with Ukraine. Orbán, he has sent a letter to the EU, and he is telling the EU, I have an idea. Why don't Hungary and Slovakia send some people to the Druzhba pipeline so they can take a look at the alleged damage that was done to the Druzhba pipeline? They can assess the damage situation and how long it would take to repair it. And then we can talk about approving the $90 billion loan, which is not really a loan to the Green Goblin, but Hungary is vetoing that $90 billion. But that's Orbán's idea, which is actually a pretty fair proposal. But the EU is dithering, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, it could be dangerous to send some people there, and we don't know if it's that good of an idea or how we can get this done. So it looks like the EU is going to say, nah, we don't want your repair guys to go to the Druzhba to see what the situation is like, because we know that if Ukraine, if it was damaged, let's assume it has been damaged to the extent that it needs serious repairs, we know that Ukraine is not going to repair it. They don't want to repair it. They prefer the pipeline. Well, the EU prefers that the pipeline does not deliver any oil to Hungary and Slovakia in order to squeeze Orbán and Fico. We've got tools. We are going to put the Hungarian economy in tatters. We're gonna make the Hungarian economy tatters, I tell you, tatters, so that our guy can win the elections in April. That is the plan. So that was Orbán's pitch to the European Union. And an update on the situation in Cuba with the speedboat. The latest report is that this speedboat was a stolen speedboat, and that the guys on this speedboat, these U.S. citizens, I believe it's been confirmed now by the United States that two of the people on the speedboat were indeed U.S. citizens. I don't know about the other four. There were six in total. Four of the people, I believe, were shot and killed. The other two were taken into custody. But last I read, two of the people have been confirmed as U.S. citizens. The U.S. investigation on this speedboat incident that was heading towards Cuba, and the Cuban authorities took out the speedboat and the people on the speedboat that captured two of them, took them into custody. But the speedboat, according to the United States, was stolen. It was a stolen boat. And we have a video which Cuban authorities have posted. I believe Cuba has posted this video. But it is a video of the crew members of the speedboat, and they're pretty ramped up, pretty hyped up about making their way to Cuba in order to regime change the government. I'm trying to remember, did Cuba post this video? I believe the Cuban authorities posted this video, or was it the United States that posted this video, U.S. authorities? Anyway, it's the video of the people that were on the speedboat, and they've got their guns, and they're talking about heading over to Cuba and overthrowing the communist government in Cuba. So it looks like that was the plan. Not a very smart plan, not a very smart idea. But there you have it. That's an update on that news. And that brings us to Clown World, everybody. As the sun sets here in Limassol, the beautiful city of Limassol. So today's Clown World is a good one. We got a good one today. I like it. I like it a lot. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. So, from UK Sun, or the US Sun, one second. The US Sun, well, if it's coming from the US Sun, then it also was reported from the UK Sun as well, I guess. But anyway, they ran an article yesterday with the title, Sowing Chaos, Putin flooding Europe with migrants through secret Hamas-style tunnels as tyrant wages sinister hybrid war against the West. Actually, this news was published on quite a lot of publications in the collective West. This news, if you want to call it news. That's right, everybody. Tunnels. And they wanted to make sure they put the word Hamas there. Hamas-style tunnels, right? Got to create the connection. Putin, Hamas-style tunnels. And these tunnels, they go from Russia underneath Belarus, I believe. And Putin is using these tunnels to flood Europe with migrants. And they're secret. They're secret tunnels, too. Well, not so secret anymore, right? But there you have it. Ah, that Putin. He has tunnels. He has tunnels to flood Europe with migrants. I thought that Europe wanted the migrants. Why are they upset? I thought this is what they wanted. Shouldn't they be thanking Putin? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Oh, boy. You know what else is in those tunnels? I've got my sources. I've got very good sources. You know that I've got good sources. Anyway, my sources are telling me that not only is Putin using the tunnels to flood Europe with migrants, but in those tunnels, you'll also find the Skripals. They're in the tunnels as well. The Novichok is there. The dart frogs. He keeps all of the dart frogs. They're in the tunnels. They're stowed away in the tunnels as well. And you know what else is in those tunnels? Take a wild guess. And my sources have confirmed this with me. They've sent me photos. They've sent me videos. The Epstein files. The Epstein files are in the tunnels. Yeah, they've been hidden away in those tunnels. The computers, the files. It's all there. It's all there underneath Belarus. Oh boy. All right. I think I will end the. I will end the video there. Oh my God. What will they think of next? What will they think of next? Ben Hodges, the former U.S. commander, NATO. He was a NATO commander, wasn't he? Or U.S. Army in Europe. Anyway, the worst analyst when it comes to the Ukraine war. Ben Hodges, the absolute worst analyst when it comes to the Ukraine war. You want to know what's going on in the Ukraine war? Listen to Ben Hodges. And whatever he says, it's the exact opposite, right? The exact opposite. And then you'll get a really good understanding as to what's happening in the conflict in Ukraine. Anyway, he flipped out. He had a meltdown. He was on some train in the Netherlands, and he claims that this train was attacked, or the roof of this train had something hitting it 5 times. And he claims that had to be Russia, right? It wasn't anything to do with the air conditioning, or I don't know, something else that was hitting the roof or making the roof or causing the roof to make loud noises on this train. Nope. He says it was Russia. Had to be Russia. Most likely it was Russia, he said. Tunnels, trains, frogs, Novichok. Amazing. Absolutely amazing that Putin. Anyway, all right. That's the video, everybody. Oh, we had some big news. Not Clown World, but some big news about the Netflix Warner Brothers deal. Netflix is backing off from its bid to purchase Warner Bros., which means that it will go to the Ellison family. Paramount will likely pick up Warner Brothers, which means that they will get CNN, which means that the Ellison family will pretty much have a monopoly on media in the United States. We're talking CNN, we're talking CBS, we're talking HBO, of course, Oracle. Everyone knows Oracle, the big tech company, TikTok, Skydance, TBS, TNT, TLC, HBO Max, my God, CW, Travel Channel, BET, MTV, VH1, The Ellisons have bought up everything. Netflix should have been given Warner Brothers. But it looks like Paramount and the Ellisons are going to get it. How you doing, my friend? The famous Limassol turtle. Turtles, they're everywhere. And of course, we have our famous, trusted, respected Limassol beach cats. All right, everybody, that's the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we are on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. And I will see everyone tomorrow. A link to the Duran shop is in the description box down below. Also, Substack. Check us out on Substack as well. Link to our Substack is in the description box as well. Let's see what's playing here at the theater in Limassol. We got the ballet, Romeo and Juliet. Slovenia National Ballet. Awesome.